our children about kind of being in a zone and they don't realize what's going on, that they're in a daydream. We probably forget most of our dreams, don't we? And that may be a blessing. Sometimes we have nightmares that we wish we could forget, and sometimes we aren't even aware of those. My first semester back in college after getting out of the Marine Corps, the first two semesters, I put a pretty good scare in my roommates by nightmares that I had that I knew nothing about until the next morning when they told me about them. And apparently they had something to do with Vietnam. I'm glad that I didn't remember those. I wish I hadn't had them, though, given the scare they put in my roommates. Most of us, though, have dreams that are desires, visions, if you will, of our ideal future. We dream about what could be. When I was around about 15 or 16, I suspect that most people in that age range do. We start having dreams about what will happen when we're an adult and what life will be like and what we'll do. And I had these visions that I was going to become wealthy early and I was going to be able to do a whole lot of different things. Well, that didn't pan out, as sometimes our dreams don't, our visions of our future. Sometimes our dreams direct our values and our lives, though. We have a dream of something we want to attain to, something we want to be. We have a vision or a dream of the kind of life that we'd like to have. And we seriously pursue that. And for many people, they will attain that in some way or to some degree. Sometimes, though, we have dreams that just seem to us to be unattainable. And so we dismiss them. And sometimes when we do that, we live kind of in a bitter resignation thereafter because we don't replace them with encouraging, attainable, good dreams. President Woodrow Wilson once wrote, "We grow great by dreams. All big men are dreamers. They see things in the soft haze of a spring day or in the red fire of a long winter's evening. Some of us let these great dreams die, but others nourish and protect them, nurse them through bad days, till they bring them to the sunshine and light which comes always to those who hope that their dreams will come true." In Job 33, and in verses 13 through 18, Job's friend Elihu rebuked Job. He said, "Why do you complain to him," speaking of God, "that he answers none of man's words or man's prayers? For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword." You and I here tonight, probably to the largest extent, believe the Bible to be true. We believe that everything in it is true. And we accept the dreams and the visions that are recorded in it, don't we? We accept it as being true. But at the same time, all of us probably, to one extent or another, are uneasy with those dreams. Why did people believe that their dreams were from God? Have you ever noticed that? When you read about someone in the Bible having a dream or a vision that is supposedly from God or an angel of God, they don't even question it. They just automatically, immediately accept it. Why did they do that? I mean, after all, you and I, as godly people, spiritual people, we don't believe that, do we? We don't believe one of our dreams necessarily has come from God, do we? So why do we believe that theirs did? And why did they believe that God had inspired or came to them and spoke to them in a dream? Through visions and dreams, God directed many people's lives. God came in a vision to establish his covenant with Abram. In a vision, God promised to bless Jacob and to direct him where to go. Later, God spoke to Jacob in a vision when he was an old man, telling him to take his family to Egypt where God would bless him. As a child, Samuel had a vision from God. God came to Solomon in a dream, promising him great blessings. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, and Zechariah all gave prophecies that they said came from dreams or visions from God. All the Jews believed those, even if they were uncomfortable with what those prophets said from those dreams or visions. In the New Testament, Joseph had a dream in which he was told about Mary's pregnancy by the Holy Spirit. Later, he had a dream directing him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt, and yet another dream a few years later directing him to take Mary and Jesus back to Israel. God directed Ananias, Peter, and Paul through visions. So whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, all of these people believed and acted upon their dreams or visions as being God's directions. By his prophets, God foretold a restoration of his people. In Joel chapter 2, in verse 28, God said, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." We're familiar with that verse because Peter quoted this verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 to explain the Holy Spirit at work in the apostles and their ability to speak in all of these different languages which they had not studied, and to assure them that the time of the Savior King had come into being by Jesus. But what are we to do with that verse as Christians? I'm not suggesting that we have the same kinds of dreams and visions as people in the Bible had. But we have to do something with Elihu's comments here in Job 33 and verse 14, when he says, "For God does speak now one way, now another." Some people find themselves reading God's word, and all of a sudden, something clicks with them. They're inspired by God's word toward a dream of what could be, or a vision, God's vision of what could be or should be. Other people hear someone speaking about God's word, and that inspires them to have a dream or a vision of what could be. Sometimes they hear about some work of God that's going on someplace, and that inspires them. It gives them a dream or a vision of what could be in other places. Like Elihu said, God does speak, now one way, now another. Sometimes in dreams, sometimes in visions, but God speaks. And God speaks in ways to direct us. God speaks in ways to inspire us. God speaks in ways to give us visions of what could and should be. Remember Jesus giving one of these visions of what could be. He said, "Look at the harvest. It's ripe for the picking. You need to pray the Lord of harvest, the Lord God, to send forth reapers." Jesus was trying to give his followers a vision, a spiritual vision, a dream of what could be, what should be. They needed to see what they were not seeing, what was right there in front of them. As a Christian, do you dream spiritual dreams? Do you have spiritual visions? One writer commented, "So much of the church's conservatism and lack of dynamics in its life and its mission is due to a loss of the vision of the future." Let me read that again. "So much of the church's conservatism and lack of dynamics in its life and mission is due to a loss of the vision of the future." This writer is not speaking of conservative as we think of it. He's not talking about being conservative about biblical teachings. He's using the terms conservative as in the sense of being fearful and not taking action. You remember the story that Jesus told, or the parable he told, about the master who had the three servants. The master was going away for a time, and so he entrusted different amounts of money to each of three servants. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2, and to one he gave 1. And their responsibility was to take that money and use it in the master's service to enlarge upon it while the master was away. And so we know that the servant who had 5 talents took it, invested it, and got 5 more. The servant who had 2 talents invested it, got 2 more. But the servant who got 1 talent didn't do that. He had a vision of his master as being harsh, as being a hard man, and even as being vindictive. And so rather than take the chance that something might go wrong with him using that piece of money, he buried it. And he thought, I'm safe. When his master came back, he called each of the servants before them. He asked the one who had given 5 what he had done, and the servant said, I've gained 5 more. And the master was pleased and commended him. And the same thing happened with the one who had received 2 talents. He had invested and got 2 more. And the master was pleased with him. Then he went to the servant who had the 1. And the servant began to explain, you know, master, I know that you harvest where you haven't planted, and I know that you're a hard man, and so I buried this talent so I wouldn't lose it. And then the master was extremely displeased with him. This man was fearful of losing this thing entrusted to him by his master. And he was fearful of his master, so he did nothing with what he was given to use in the master's service. He was conservative with it in that sense. His vision of the future was perverted because his vision of his master was perverted. But these other servants, they had a fearless vision of the future because they had a correct vision of their master. I pray that we are like those servants. I pray that we are fearless in using what God has given us in every way to His glory. I pray that we are not that fearful, conservative servant. What are your spiritual dreams and visions for yourself and for this congregation? Mike is going to pass out some cards right now. On the lying side of these, I want to encourage you, take a few moments to write down your spiritual dreams and visions for yourself. What have you been thinking about? What has God's Word inspired within you to see as a spiritual vision or dream for yourself? And on the back side of the card, the blank side, write down your spiritual dream or vision for this congregation. I suspect most of us have some kind of dream for what this congregation could and even should become. Mike, if you'll pass those out right now to everyone, I'd appreciate that. When you're done with those, hold on to them. Stick them in your Bible for the moment. And when you get home, I want to encourage you to place those cards in some prominent place where you'll see them often and where you'll think about them and pray about them and consider what kind of action you need to take, what kind of action God would have you to take to see those visions come true. In Acts 16, Paul started on his second missionary journey. His vision, or his dream, surely that was developed through much prayer, was to revisit the congregations that he had helped start on his first journey. But verses 6 through 10 tell us what happened as Paul was about trying to fulfill his dream or his vision of what he should be doing in his service to the Lord. We read, Paul and his companions traveled throughout that region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That's where they were headed. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. That's the second blockade they've encountered, as Paul is trying to fulfill the dream or the vision that he had of what he should be doing for the Lord. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I don't know about you, but I don't trust my dreams that much. I don't trust that if I had a vision, whether a daydream or a night dream, and I had this kind of a dream, I wouldn't come to the same conclusion that Paul did. But it does really beg for us to ask ourselves, why don't we? Why don't we? Maybe we need to ask God through prayer to guide us in discernment. After all, Solomon says a lot about that, doesn't he, in the book of Proverbs, that we need to grow in discernment so that we can discern whether or not something really is from God. How does it stack up in terms of what God says that we know through his word? Is it consistent with it? Is it in conflict with it? Of course, that says that we need to spend time in God's word, doesn't it? Paul was willing to override his dreams to share God's dreams. I think it's important, again, to remember that Paul didn't plan this trip arbitrarily. This was a man who came from the congregation in Antioch. And we read about that congregation in the very first verses of Acts 7:13 as being a congregation that was devoted to prayer and to fasting and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They waited for guidance. I have no doubt but that Paul did the exact same thing before he set out on this trip. He had what seemed to be a good idea. He talked with Barnabas about it. Barnabas was in favor of it. Undoubtedly, they prayed about this a great deal, sought God's guidance, and went about what they believed was God's dream. But the moment they recognized that God had something different in mind now, they acted upon it immediately. Paul trusted that God's dreams were better than his dreams. As spiritually minded as Paul was. There's a modern parable called The Three Trees, and I think it expresses this idea very well and very effectively. So as I'm reading this, please go ahead and complete your dreams or visions for yourself spiritually and for this congregation. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday, I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with intricate carvings, and everyone would see the beauty." Then the second tree said, "Someday, I will be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, the woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to a shipyard." The second tree was happy because he knew he was on the way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came upon the third tree, the tree was frightened, because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree. I'll take this one." And he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. this was not at all what he'd prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by, and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then, one day, a man and a woman came to the barn. She gave birth, and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it had held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got in the fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose, and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man, and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that it had carried the King of Kings in its boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as was possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. Each of these trees got what it wanted, just not the way it had imagined. We don't always know what God's plans for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. When things don't seem to be going our way, always know that God has a plan for us. If you place your trust in Him, God will give you great gifts. Would you pray with me? Father God, inspire us as you give us dreams for your concerns and your work. Whatever way you speak to us, Father, cause us to be inspired by you. Give us visions of where and how we can join you in the work you're already about, both now and in the future. Help us to turn to you only for our wisdom about the present and the future. And lead us, Father, to be eager to share in your dreams. Through your Son's name we pray. Amen. God has great dreams for every one of us. And He has great dreams for this congregation. We would not still exist if it were not for that. You know, it's said that most congregations do well to last 50 years. We're beyond that. And I believe that's because God has great dreams for every one of us and for this congregation. He calls us to share His dreams, but He calls us to share them in the context of being His children who are of like mind with Him, ready to serve Him and be about His will to His glory. Do you share His dreams? If you don't, it may be because you're not one of His children, or it may be because your dreams for yourself have pushed His aside. If we can help you in any way, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.